This program was recorded at InterVarsity's Following Christ Conference, held in Chicago, December 27th through 31st, 2008.
So, I want to introduce the staff, most of whom are here at this point, and some of whom may still be working their way up on the elevator, and give the staff a chance to introduce themselves. If you've looked at the schedule, what you'll see is that we have about an hour tonight, and then about 3.5-4 hours tomorrow afternoon. That's the big block of time which will be set aside for the education track. And then in addition to that, we have some time for Bible studies, which we'll be doing as a track, and then a final wrap-up, I think, on the last evening of the conference. So thought I'd get started by just talking a little bit about what we're going to be doing here. First thing is, teaching is wonderful. Teaching is great. Now, when I tell my students that, and I talk about how much I enjoyed teaching when I was teaching in the public schools, one of the things that I tell them is, look, this cannot be spoken about outside of this room. You can talk about how good a job teaching is in faculty rooms. You can talk about it among one another, but you don't go out into the general public and say what a great job it is to work with kids, because then they're going to want to keep your salaries low. Okay? You want to talk about how awful the kids are, how much hard work it is, all the correcting of papers, how the situation in the schools is just terrible. Those are and your kids. You parents, the awful kids you have, and I have to deal with them. That's what you want to do if you're going to be talking outside of teaching. But teaching is, actually, I always thought it was wonderful. I was a classroom teacher for almost 10 years. During that time, in order to get tenure, you will find, how many of you are tenured teachers so far? Not too many.
How many people in school to become a teacher?
Tom Baskin, by the way, is one of our track staff. And Heidi Chu is a second person on our track staff. And Shanna Pargalis, who is probably still on her way up here, is our other track staff. So I'll be giving them a chance to introduce themselves. But how about we find out who is who here? How many of you are presently teachers? Okay, let me break that down a little bit. How many of you are teachers in public schools? Okay. How many of you are teachers in a K-12 Christian school? How many of you are teachers in colleges or universities? Okay, any other types of teachers that I didn't cover? What's that?
Students at the college of education.
Okay.
Teaching presently.
Okay. And?
I'm a girl PhD, but I taught at Tech University.
Okay, good. How many of you are graduate students studying to be teachers? Okay. Who are the rest of you? Other things that I haven't mentioned? Yes?
I'm Robin Hitz, I'm a school psychologist.
Okay.
I'm Sean. I'm a research associate in a curriculum development project.
Okay.
I'm Melissa. I just graduated from undergrad, so I'm waiting to hear back from getting my master's in elementary education.
Good. So we have a good spread. Yes?
I have a degree in teaching, but I haven't taught.
Okay.
Except informally in Bible study training with InterVarsity. But I'm currently involved with the University of Bangui in the Central African Republic, helping the university to explore ways of encouraging their women to get higher education.
Okay. We're going to give an opportunity for everybody to introduce themselves. So this gives us a good census in terms of, in general, where we're all coming from. But we are going to have a chance for everybody, because this is a relatively small track, so we can take time to do that. As I was mentioning, when I was a teacher, when you become a teacher and when you decide you want to get tenure, you realize that one way, means of getting tenure is doing lots of work with extracurricular activities. I was the ski club coach, I was the drama club coach, and I was the tennis coach, and I didn't have a social life. I was also going to graduate school at night. So I was keeping pretty busy, but one of the real advantages of being active, not just in the classroom in teaching, but also doing a lot of work with extracurricular activities, is that you get to know your students. And I had a wonderful set of students that I will remember forever. I'll tell you one story about something that happened. One day, my drama club showed up to school, early in the day of school, and they were all wearing t-shirts, and across the front of their t-shirts it said, Mr. Belathy, my name. And they were walking around the school all day with these t-shirts, and the teachers were looking, what in heaven's name, why are you wearing those t-shirts? And so the students said, well, Mr. Belathy is our God. We worship him. And then I had walked into the faculty room and face up to what the other teachers had to say. Those kind of memories. Now, by the way, they were the apostates. I was also the head of the Bible study club, the after school Bible study club. And hopefully their theology was a little bit better. But you have a lot of memories. You develop a lot of good memories when you're teaching, when you're a teacher. And I'm saying this more or less to introduce myself. I was a teacher in the greatest state in the nation, New Jersey. Anybody here from New Jersey?
No.
No, New Jersey.
Do you agree?
This, by the way, is Janet Bargillis. She has made it. She's our other staff person. So.
Yeah, the elevators were, there's a few others here with me now.
I'm sure, right, who are still on the way, right. After a little less than 10 years of public school teaching, I felt the call of the Lord to finish up a doctoral degree in education. And back in those days, there was a guy by the name of Francis Schaeffer, who some of you may have heard of. He was a writer of books that were published by InterVarsity Press. And he was a little bit on the odd side. He had some quirks to his theology and some quirks to his personality. But one of the things that he was challenging evangelicals, not just in education, but in all spheres of academia to do, was to get more involved in academics, to think through how Christians can impact the world of thinking, the world of scholarship. And Schaeffer had a huge impact on my generation of Christians. I think that, I think back to the days when I was an undergraduate, there were very few Christian professors, evangelical Christian professors on college campuses, secular college campuses. And I think in large measure due to Schaeffer's work and also due to encouragement of organizations like InterVarsity, the number of professors on Christian campuses these days, the number of evangelical professors on Christian campuses these days has grown considerably. And I felt called of the Lord to leave teaching, public school teaching, and become a teacher of teachers. So that's what I've been doing for the past 25 years or so. I teach at the State University of New York at Geneseo. State University of New York is the state university system in the state of New York. Geneseo is one of the small college campuses in western New York, sort of out toward Buffalo, if you're vaguely familiar with that. That tells you a little bit about where I'm coming from, and what I'd like to do is to also ask Tom and Shanna and Heidi to say a little bit about what they're doing, about their faith walk, how they've come to the position they're at. Right now, I'm the faculty advisor to the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Group at my college. I've been a faculty advisor for a long, long time. Seen a lot of generations of students come up through InterVarsity and go into various fields of endeavor. But, Tom, do you want to tell a little bit about yourself?
Briefly introduce myself. So I'm Dr. Tom Baskin, and I grew up in California, actually at UC Davis, if you've heard of that. My father is a professor emeritus there. who studied biophysics, and I went to undergraduate there, and I had always thought that the professors were pretty good. Job. In undergrad, I got real involved with InterVarsity, though. I was an engineering major and got involved with InterVarsity and kind of became a little disillusioned by engineering and felt like I wasn't so sure about that, and also got somewhat disillusioned by, in many ways, in a good way, with a lot of worldly things, and got more involved in InterVarsity and was trying to think of how to apply my faith and look at ways of working with people and things like that. At one point, really considered being an InterVarsity staff worker, which fits pretty well with this conference. But then, in thinking about it, and as I grew in my faith and as I grew in InterVarsity, I realized, well, you feel like that was a hard way. That seems like some people do that successfully for the lifetimes, but in a lot of ways, it felt like sometimes it's harder to do for a lifetime and harder to necessarily be as integrated to the university. And so, what I started to think was, it reemerged this interest in the university that I'd had from my dad. I thought to myself, okay, it seemed like there was an exciting possibility of kind of combining the best of being a university staff worker with the academy was my hope, and so wanting to kind of have this idea of being a Christian and being a professor. And so I ended up graduating from Davis, moving to San Francisco, getting a master's degree in school counseling, with the idea kind of long-term, someday kind of hope to be a professor. Went, prayed with my church, and felt that God was calling me to Wisconsin, which was where I ended up going to get my PhD, and try to briefly tell the story in terms of coming from California. It must have been God to take me to Wisconsin, because when I was first looking into it, I was like, there's no way I'm going to Wisconsin. It's way too cold. Definitely got to find, definitely do something challenging in California. But I think it was really God in terms of just showing, as I was getting interested in school counseling and in counseling and getting interested in being a professor, it became obvious that if I was really serious about it, I needed to go to a strong program. Wisconsin-Madison is one of the strongest programs in my area. So, but it worked out really well that I did go to UW-Madison and got involved in the graduate group there, and that was exciting. And a good opportunity to see what I wanted to do. Met some great mentors there, and got involved with a person who studies forgiveness, which you can hear about tomorrow. Graduated with the idea of being a professor, was thankfully hired at UW-Milwaukee. So now I'm a professor at UW-Milwaukee. I train school counselors, I train master's level therapists, I train doctoral level therapists, and I do research on school counseling and forgiveness. And so that's something I'll share about more tomorrow. But just kind of, it's been I would just say praise God, there have been a way to kind of put together my faith and my profession, and that's been a nice journey.
For tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be starting off with Tom giving about a 45-minute or so presentation on his research relating to forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice is the topic. By the way, I would have a handout which tells all of our schedule and when my luggage gets here. Hopefully we actually will have a few handouts. So we'll be starting off with Tom speaking tomorrow afternoon. Shannon?
I'm Shannon Pargellis. I am not a professor. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a little, I like to sort of jump into things, and that's sort of how things have happened for me. When I was a kid, I'm one of those kids who always wanted to be a teacher. Then when I got to college, I did not want to be a teacher because in my school, most of the women either were teachers or nurses, and I was not going to be like anybody else. So I decided I did not want to be a teacher, but I sort of gave in to the inclinations, and I did become a teacher, but I became a special education teacher, so it had a little twist of something different on it. And I got my degree with certifications in mental retardation and learning disabilities and emotionally disturbed children. And I was very interested in including, in mainstreaming or inclusion, as they speak of it, of seeing all children as gifted and also as human with limitations. And so I wanted them to have the optimal place to be. So I was plugged into a public school in the inner city because I really wanted to work in the inner city. And little did I realize that I was placed in a school where they had had huge difficulties. So it was a very troubled school, and the special ed person who had been there before was sort of kicked out because she hadn't worked well, collaborated well. And that's another big theme of mine, is really working with others as a team and trying to work together. I was very successful in that school, and after 2 years, I was kind of antsy and ready for something else. So I was given all different kinds of possibilities within the system. But one of the things I really wanted to do was to be able to integrate my faith more easily. I had gone through Christian schooling all my life, and I was working in a public school, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could be in a Christian school and I could include special ed kids? And so I had this vision of what this could be like, and I knew there was a school out in New Jersey that was trying experimenting with some of these things. So I applied to them, and they wrote me back and said, well, we're sorry, but we just filled the position. You would have been a prime candidate, but there is this school, or there is a group of people that are thinking of starting a school in Hoboken, New Jersey. So I'm going to send your name on to them. So they sent my name on, and I was asked if I would like to be a head of a new school for this school, and I said, no, thank you. I would be interested in being a teacher. So they said, I said, let me know when you get ahead. And then I had a list of 20 questions. I like to ask lots of questions, too. I had at least 20 questions because I did not want to go to some fly-by-night thing. But it was a great time for me to venture out and try something new. So sure enough, they got a headmaster, and I ended up moving to Hoboken, New Jersey. And I said that I would stay there for 2 years, as long as I felt like I was living and growing and learning. And I have now been there for 30 years. And I helped co-found a school, which we started with 12 students. We now have 210 students. It's been living out a dream of faith, a dream of all people being gifted and being valued. I just resonated so much with what Mary Kate said about not living out of fear, but of making choices and taking steps and doing things. And so so I've continued to do that, and there's all kinds of stories about this school, but I'll tell you one little thing. At the things I've done in the last 3 years are, I've become a spiritual director within the last 3 years. I've also started a preschool connected with this school, and so we started that the first year, and we had 14 students. We now have 42 children. We tripled in 1 year the size of the preschool. Huge demand, huge need, and great opportunities to bring children into the life of faith. And I'm still learning. I said I would say as long as I was learning. So here's the most recent thing that's happened. There are 3 and 4 year olds in this in the preschool, which is now part of the Mustard Seed School, which is the school where I work. And we did a sharing of the Christmas story. And it looks like a pageant. But I've said to the parents, this is worship. This is a worship time. So I don't want any flash photography. At the very end, I'll set up these photo ops so that you can take all the flashes you want. And so they were very respectful. And during the time when we were telling the story, and we had angels, and we had sheep, and we had kids were camels, and we still needed more characters, so we had stars. So during the night, the stars go up, and they stand up there, and they're shining. Well, at the very end, I thanked the parents, and I said, we'll do these photo ops. So I had the sheep come, and the sheep could go look at the baby Jesus. Oh, and we had live baby Jesus. Because when you have a preschool, you always have young family, so there's always someone who could be baby Jesus. So Mary Claire was baby Jesus. And so the sheep go, and they're crawling, and they go look, and lots of flash. The angels go, and they go look, lots of flash. The wise men and the camels go, and of course they're following a star, lots of flash. But somewhere in the middle of all that, there was one little girl who was a star. And she talked to one of the teachers that was nearby. And she said, why did everybody get to see the baby? We need to see the baby. And I just thought that was such a true statement, that we had done this whole build-up to this is the birth of Christ, of seeing the baby, and we all want to be close to the baby. So I continue to learn. Next year when we do the photo ops, the stars will go right up to the baby so that we all can see the baby. And I think that's my hope for these children, too, that I work with, and for these families, that they'll be able to see Christ in the work that they do.
And tomorrow afternoon, Shanna will be following Tom. Her presentation is going to be called Developing Your Vision and Call in Education. So the three of us are the staff, and what we're going to be greatly helped in the Bible studies by Heidi Chu. And I'd like to ask her to introduce herself.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'm really delighted to be here because it's, for me, I just love the world, the university world, I love the world of academia, and I found ways to stay involved even after I got terminal with all my degrees. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I love teaching, and I love teachers, and it's great to be in a group, in a room with people who love the Lord and who love teaching and who are here to just learn more about how they can become better teachers and follow the Lord. So in order to introduce myself, I will do something that is very non-Western. I will tell you about my family. I'm from Germany, so that's where the funny accent comes from. And I also have problems with my sinuses, and I think I may get laryngitis, so I may end up signing. But I'm married to a man from Malaysia, to a Chinese Malaysian. So I'm from Germany, my husband is from Asia, and my children are American. And so we are a very wild and colorful bunch. And I could relate to almost every person here of the three staff that were talking when Ernst was talking, which kind of dates myself. I was at La Brie when Francis Schaeffer was still alive and kicking. And the, why am I a teacher? I never intended to be a teacher. In fact, I thought it was kind of boring profession, a very scary profession. But on her deathbed, my grandmother, my dad's mother, who had been a teacher her entire life and comes from a long succession of teachers, she held my hand and said to me, Heidi, you must promise me to become a teacher. What do you say to a dying woman on a deathbed when she asks you to become a teacher? And she knew that I was a Christian. She was not a believer. And she said, and it's okay. It's even going to be okay if you go to some foreign country and teach those little children. Okay, that was her concept of missions and what it means to be a Christian and maybe a teacher. And so I said, yes, grandmother, I will see. And what do you know, before I knew it, I ended up being a teacher. And so for me, when I think about teaching, I think of it as a gift that the Lord has given me, and He's probably entrusted that same gift to you. And for me, at least, I don't think that God doesn't really care that much about whether I teach Bible study methods or lead people in Bible studies or whether I teach ESL, which I do. I loved teaching and I loved InterVarsity, so I found a way to be both staff and an adjunct professor at a college, or whether I teach step aerobics or bungee jumping, as long as I get to teach. And but I do get most excited about teaching the Word of God and the truth that's found in the Word of God, which transforms us, because sometimes I get frustrated in my classroom in teaching English, especially pronunciation. I can teach a lot of things and I can teach principles, but sometimes transformation doesn't happen because people don't get it. And I know you see the same challenges in your classrooms. But when I teach the Word of God, something will happen. I may not see it. It may be further down the road, but I'll see it. And so as InterVarsity staff, my husband Bach and I are ISM, International Student Ministry staff in Cleveland, Ohio. We have a local ministry with internationals, mostly graduate students at Case Western Reserve University. We have students also from other schools. And then I also get to meddle regionally. I'm the ISM regional coordinator, so I travel through four states and help other InterVarsity staff who desire to reach out to internationals. And I get to meddle some nationally, so I think that's part of us being teachers. We like to meddle, don't we? Because I think we always have ideas and we seek transformation. I think transformation and teaching for me goes together. So again, I'm just really happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to our times together in the morning.
One of the things that I have realized about the tracks is that this is the opportunity that you have to be in a little bit more of an informal, personalized setting. We'll be sitting a lot in that large auditorium, listening to some very big name speakers talking to us. Paulo Freire, a name probably most of you graduate students in education are familiar with, maybe too familiar with, has talked about the banking approach to education, the idea of depositing information in people's minds, and he's criticized, critiqued that approach, and I hope that we're not going, that's not all we're going to be doing here. Freire talks about reading not just the word, but the world, and he talks about we come to be able to read the world by helping one another, by interacting with one another. The and I think this is the opportunity for us to interact. So it's going to be hard for us to interact unless we know who's here. So given the opportunity for the track staff to spend a little bit of extra time talking about themselves and filling you in on who we are, I'd like to give you all an opportunity to get to know one another and introduce yourselves. I'm going to be starting off to my right, so we'll be going around in that direction. So I'll give you a little bit of a warning there, but basically just tell us who you are, where you come from, why, and one thing about why you are here. What is one thing that you're hoping to get out of this conference related to your profession of education, that will help us be clued in terms of what you'd like. We do have formal presentations set up for the first part of tomorrow afternoon, but the second part of tomorrow afternoon we're flexible about. We have some things planned. If you want a two-hour lecture from me, I've got a two-hour lecture prepared. Nobody talks at all and doesn't want anything. But I'm hoping not necessarily to give that. I was at a national reading conference, a research conference in my field, a couple weeks ago. And Don Liu, who's at the University of Connecticut, he's one of the leading people researching use of technology and the internet for teaching of literacy. He talked about a typical classroom setting where technology is being used and things are breaking down, they're not working right, children don't know what they're supposed to be doing. What happens, a typical setting, whenever technology is being used, what happens in that kind of a setting often is that children start helping out other children. Sometimes the children even start helping out the teacher. I've never really had an official term for that. I've just said, well, children helping one another. Well, now there's an official term called distributed expertise. So you need a distributed expertise. Seven-syllable combination of words that is added to your educational vocabulary. You can remember that. But hopefully this will be an opportunity for some distributed expertise, not only during our sessions, but as you listen to one another introducing yourselves, this might be the opportunity for you to strike up a friendship, do a little bit of networking on your part, ask questions, and turn this into a little bit more of a personalized experience rather than just sitting and listening to, lectures. So, could you briefly introduce yourself, say where you're from, what you do, and maybe one thing that you're hoping to take away from this conference?